When Christ was teaching here on earth, he mentioned many different vocations. For example, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow." But Jesus was not a farmer when he came here to earth. In John chapter 10, verse 14, it says, Jesus speaking, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep." But while he was living here on earth, he was not a shepherd. I think most of you know, and we read this earlier, the scripture says he was a carpenter. Go back again to Mark chapter 6, if you will. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Let me read and just listen. "Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. Those who listened to him were astonished. Where did this man get these things? What wisdom is this given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter," there it is, "the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, in his own house." Now he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled, he was amazed because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages, teaching." So it teaches us that Jesus, while he was here on earth, his trade was a carpenter. His earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter, so that made sense. From the very beginning, he learned how to be a carpenter from his earthly father. But that's not what the Jewish people expected of the Messiah. Had you asked them, "When the Messiah comes, will he be a carpenter?" And they would have frowned and looked at you and said, "No, he's going to be a king. He'll be born in a palace, and he'll reign and rule." So the idea of a carpenter was pretty foreign to many of the people concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But think about it. And that's what we're going to do today. In the providence of God, it makes sense. Think about what a carpenter is and what a carpenter does. That's the message today. My first thought: Jesus Christ came to do a carpenter's work. You say, "Well, what are you referring to?" A carpenter builds things. Picture this. Before Jesus Christ came to earth, he's God, he was in heaven, he built the universe. He understood what it meant to build. Listen to John's gospel. It clearly tells us that. In John 1:3, the scripture says, "All things were made by him," Christ, "and without him was not anything made that was made." Everything that we look at in this life, in this world, wherever you go, you look at the trees and the ground and the stars and all the rest, Jesus made them. He built this world. this universe. Interesting. Jesus Christ came into this world as a carpenter. Carpenters are builders. He was a builder. Here's a question. What is our eternal carpenter building today? You say, well, I thought it was already built. I'm not talking about that part. The answer is in Matthew's gospel, and I want you to turn there. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. This is very important that you understand what he is building today. Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus speaking. And I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There it is. What is Jesus building today? The church. We are a part of that which he is building and continuing to build today. The church is still being built. People, how do you get into the church? By being saved. We're placed into the body of Christ. His body. The church. He's the head. We are the body. He's the Savior. We are the church. And he is in the process of building the church. And I say to myself, what a great privilege. What an amazing truth to think that I am a part of what God is building today. The church. Now there's the general body and then there's the local body. But primarily, I'm thinking now about the church worldwide. We are a part of the church that the Lord is building during this particular age. And as you know, when he finishes building, the church will disappear and immediately go into his presence because the body will be finished. It'll be built. And we don't know how close we are, but we think we're getting closer and closer, obviously, to the Lord coming back. But just remember, he's in the process of building the church. The church is not a denomination. The church is not some kind of organization. It's a living organism. We are the body of Christ. He's building the church. Not surprised he came as a carpenter, because he came to do a carpenter's work, build the church. Second thought, I'm not surprised he came as a carpenter, because he follows carpenter's methods. So what do you mean? Well, some of you are carpenters. I already talked to you before the service, and I know that you are and have been. When I think of a carpenter shop, I know many things take place there, but one of the things that I think of first in a carpenter shop, I picture people coming to the carpenter with broken things. And some of you who are carpenters, yeah, that's right. Spent most of my life working on broken things. God bless you. Broken things? A carpenter, you as a carpenter, you look at a broken piece of wood and you see the potential for what that can be. Jesus Christ uses carpenter's methods. Our eternal carpenter looks at our broken lives and souls and sees potential in us. You remember what you used to be? Oh my goodness. And he saved you. He saw potential in your broken life. And I know many of your testimonies as how broken your life was. Aren't you thankful to God that he does a carpenter's work? Wow. Look at 1 Peter. Would you turn there? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What did he just say? We are being built up a spiritual house that we may offer to God the things that please him. God saved us from our broken life, reshapes us so that we can now please him and live for him. Everything that we do, we ought to be thinking about how we may please him who built us out of brokenness. Wow. And his desire is ultimately to do what? Romans puts it this way. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, so that we may be conformed to the image of Christ. Carpenter? Oh, yeah. I know what they do. Carpenters take tools, and sometimes they look at the wood and they sandpaper it. Sometimes they look at it and they polish it or they chisel it. Do you know why? Because you want it to look like a particular thing, object. So you have to work on it. That's what God's doing. He is in the process of molding us into his image. I understand my humanity, and so, but I always say to myself, remember, Jerry, the longer you live, the more you should look like Christ or act like him. You ought to be more and more conformed to his image all the time. I know I won't ever get there fully until I get to heaven, but that's what he wants. And he knows what tools to use. Now, this part I want you to take home with you. What are some basic tools that our eternal carpenter uses to shape our lives today? I want to give you three tools. And I'm going to show you these in Scripture that this is what it says. First, if you're going to allow the eternal carpenter to shape you into the image of his son, you need the Word of God. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts 20. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. There it is. He says, what? Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. I start every day, and even if I wasn't a pastor, I would start every day. I did before I was a pastor. I start every day with the word of God, because that's one of the ways I know God is going to build me up and give me strength. And as a pastor, I need the word of God to build me up and to give me strength for my journey and to help me be able to serve. So that's one of the tools that God uses, our carpenter uses on us. Here's a second one. The local church. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And notice, if you will, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, meaning in the church, each of you has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation. And that's a whole study of its own. But here's what I want you to see. Let all things be done for edification. When you come to church, you should be edified, strengthened in your walk with the Lord, and allow the Holy Spirit to use the church. I wish Christians would understand the importance of the local church. That is a basic teaching. I always put it this way. The local church is a spiritual support group. You know what? You know people who go to support groups? You know why they go? Because they can get help there from people who understand, and people who can communicate with them, and people who can share with them, and who can cry with them. And they've been down that road. And counselors who have been through it and are on the other side. And it's a support group. I'll just tell you, as I've many times, being in a liberal church and then stepping onto the secular culture of the University of Cincinnati in that 1966. And you know what I found I needed more than anything else? I needed to go to church every week. And that's, if you remember, that's where I made the decision, because back in those days, my church met for Sunday school, Sunday morning church, evening Bible study for young people, followed by the church service, Wednesday night prayer meeting. I made a commitment, and I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, I made it because I was desperate. I needed spiritual strength. I was going to go to church whenever it met, and that's what I did. That was long before preacher stuff. I was a Christian who needed help. I needed a support group. And I sometimes remember after Sunday night church, and I'd walk back onto the campus on Monday morning, and you gotta remember all the race riots and all the love-ins and all the trash that was going on all around me. And I kept thinking, I can just picture myself right now in the student union, saying to myself, I can't wait till Wednesday night so I can go to church. I hope I can have enough strength to get to Wednesday night. And why is it that some Christians don't go to local churches at all? Shame on them, because the Bible teaches that we as Christians should be a part of a local church. And that's why so many Christians struggle out there. They've ignored what God's provided for them. Part of the tools that make us. Wow. The Word of God, the local church. Here's the third one. Other believers. Turn to Romans 14. Romans 14. In Romans 14, verse 19. 14:19. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify or build up another. Do you know what we are supposed to do for each other? And I'm a part of this church, so it includes me. Forget me being a pastor. This is true of me as a part of this church. I am here to help build up other people in the church. So, did you build up anybody in the church this week? You say, well, I didn't even meet with anybody. Well, too bad. Why don't you get together with somebody? Just pray with them. Talk with them. You don't have to spend all day. But connect with people. We're here to help each other. Look, I know this sounds like basic Bible teaching. It's simple. But do you realize what I've just given you from God's Word? Those three things? God actually has set up and provided for us what we need to be built into the image of His Son and to have victory in our Christian lives in this world. He's told us how we need to use. Don't pitch the tools He gives away. I mean, can you imagine going to a carpenter and say, listen, I got this broken thing here. The carpenter picks up all his tools and throws them out. He says, what do you want me to do with it? Well, I thought you could fix it. He has to have tools. God uses tools. And so, the Lord Jesus Christ came to do a carpenter's work. He follows a carpenter's methods. He came to die a carpenter's death. What? When God, in His eternal counsels, decided and made provision to save our souls, it is a crucifixion. It became the means of the payment to save us from our sins and take us to heaven. Jesus Christ was not stoned to death. That was the typical way of killing people or putting people to death back in those days. He was nailed to a tree. And I have often, as I picture Jesus the carpenter hanging on a tree, I have often thought to myself, for those 30 years, we forget there was a time when Jesus was a little boy, when he was grade school, when he was a teenager, when he was in his early 20s, and he would start his public ministry at age 30. And during all that time, he's a carpenter, working in his dad's carpenter shop. And I have often wondered to myself, as Jesus would carry those trees or whatever back to his father Joseph's carpenter shop and then trim them. I've often wondered what he was thinking, knowing that he was going to hang on one of those trees. He would be nailed to the tree. Oh. It wasn't the nails really that kept him there, that held him there on the tree. It was his love for us, not the nails. But he died on a tree. You want to see it? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I know the scripture often uses the word cross, that's fine, but you need to see that it also uses another word synonymous with cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That's the cross. He came into this world as a carpenter. Carpenters work with wood. Wood comes from trees. And here he is, as he comes into this world, working in a carpenter's shop with trees, knowing that someday he's going to die on one for our sins, to save us, to take us to heaven. We need to put ourselves in the hands of the carpenter, the Lord Jesus, who will save us and make a new creation out of us. Have you done that? Have you put your soul, your life, who you are and what you are in the hands of the carpenter who died on that tree for you? And listen to this. Hebrews 11, verse 10 says, he is preparing a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He died on that tree as a carpenter, the Savior. And he is presently today building a home in heaven for us. He said it, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's building the church here. He's building my home over there. I'm going to live there someday in a real world, a real city. We wouldn't need buildings. We wouldn't need a place. We wouldn't need a home in heaven if it wasn't a real world. It's not a state of mind. We don't just float around as spirits. We will be given new bodies to equip us to live in our home, in the city of God, in the place called heaven, because it's a real world. And my dear friend, who poured his life out when I didn't even realize that he understood all I was going through, but reached out to me personally and strengthened my heart in those early years when I was feeling like a failure as a minister, I could not help but think Thursday night, he went to his home in heaven. I'm going to be home someday. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you were willing to come into this world in humility as a carpenter. But, oh God, you're the eternal carpenter, the great carpenter. You built the world. You're building the church. You're building a home for us. And you were willing to die on a carpenter's tree. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving our souls. We cannot thank you enough. And we pray if there's anybody here who has not received you, that they'll make that decision right now to ask you to save them from their sins so they'll have the assurance of going to their eternal home that you're building. In Jesus' name.